You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Good evening and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto and we are glad you're joining us back at our regular home of Thursday evening after a week on Wednesday evening. Art Factor, how are you, sir?
I'm good. It was nice to reminisce, like go back to the Wednesday for the night.
Was it really?
I think so.
It was okay, but we weren't at 6 o'clock, we were at 7.
Well, it's
so everything's different. Everything's different. It seemed the same. It's kind of like Roberto Luongo feels. He's back in Florida. Everything's different, but it's sort of the same.
That hurt.
My team. I'm just so sad. I don't want to talk about hockey. Let's talk about something else.
Hey, it's tough not to. It's, it just happened a few days ago. The wound has barely shut.
Let's talk instead about the Oscars. Now, in amongst the profound disappointment of, again, not being nominated for any major awards, I watched the Oscars from start to finish this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that not something you do on a regular?
No, I normally audit it, but we had friends over and we actually kind of watched it this week.
Did you have a pool going?
No.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, I don't think I'd seen almost any of the movies because I'm just terrible at watching movies these days.
Holy.
I'd seen, not a lot of them. So have you seen most of them?
I think I've seen most of them, like Gravity and Wolf of Wall Street, American Hustle.
I'm looking forward to seeing Wolf of Wall Street. I hear there's a scene in it that makes you laugh so hard. There's one moment that many people have mentioned to me that there's just one moment that is just killer funny.
If I had to say it in one sentence, it was almost like The Hangover on Wall Street, like businessmen acting out The Hangover.
Oh, that's an interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but it's long. See, the thing is, I'm not sure I can stay awake that long anymore.
It doesn't really feel that long.
Well, that's good to know.
It goes
because
pretty
fast. It's a long movie. It's like 3 hours.
Every movie's 3 hours now. I mean, you have to justify paying $20 for a ticket.
Yeah,
now.
True. There, you know, you've got a point there. And I thought that Ellen did an awesome job hosting it. I thought she was pretty good. I don't know whether or not the reviews were good for her or not, but I thought she was herself, and I liked that. And I thought that they had some real technical issues at times. But technology was one of the stars of the show this year. I mean, it's not even out of the ordinary for us to, during a technology show, to be discussing the Oscars because technology was such a part of it. One thing is they boosted all of the technology awards into the main ceremonies, which quite often go into that, you know, that one that they do a couple weeks before that they give a few moments of recognition to.
Mm-hmm.
But they were certainly talking a lot about the different special effects and stuff like that. It's certainly mainstream now.
Well, with social media and with technology, that I remember maybe 2 years ago when Twitter was still fairly new, there was only a couple guys live tweeting like Canuck games or the Oscars. And now it seems like people are watching TV with their iPhone or iPad in their hand and they're live commenting.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone has a hashtag now for every event. So it's the norm.
So the Samsung paid about $18 million for their normal ads that were running the 30-second spots. It was like $1.8 million for a 30-second spot. So Samsung ran, I think, 10 spots during it.
Like the Super Bowl.
But it's unknown what they paid for the in-show placement, which was fairly significant. So they gave the Note 3, the big note, the big white note to Ellen. And during the rehearsal, they trained her to use it. And I thought that the selfies were brilliant. What did you think of that whole business?
Oh, I did not watch it live. It's also Walking Dead night, but we were flipping back and forth, and it wasn't until after the show when the big selfie with the stars, like Bradley Cooper, out.
Well, it seemed very organic. I know it was a bit planned, but it seemed very organic when they did it, and they brought Twitter down, which is just awesome. I mean, it is
3 million, and apparently, I was reading a story that Samsung didn't actually pay for that. That was Ellen just being Ellen, and they ended up donating
a bunch
of money.
They paid for product placement.
Yes.
So she was going to be carrying around. She said, I want to do some selfies. They didn't know what is exactly what's going to happen, because she did a selfie earlier up on the stage, up on the stage, and just of her looking at the audience, which was kind of a funny little take. It was her quirkiness, but she went down the audience, and then she first of all did a selfie with Liza, which Liza looks horrible in, but I don't know if Liza can look anything but horrible right now. But anyway, she looked really bad in that picture, and then there was the
all-star show.
Yeah, she just kind of stayed on it, and I thought she showed remarkable cool in assembling everybody and keeping it all going. And you know, as a person that hosts a lot of events, I was certainly more than impressed with her.
But good on her. Samsung. The story is that they donated $3 million, 1.5 to two each to two of Ellen's big charities that she works with.
Oh, for in thanks for it.
Yeah, because that was huge.
You know, what a home run. But then there's a lot of other, you know, kind of backstories that I'm picking up now, that all of Ellen's backstage tweeting was done on her iPhone.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't, sometimes you just can't win. Well, speaking of shows, I'm wrapped up on my big show. Funny thing happened on the way the forum. Now, I got to ask you, Art, did you enjoy it?
Did I enjoy it? I enjoyed the idea of it, but did I enjoy the performance? Unfortunately,
you mean you didn't come?
I could lie to you and say I was in the audience and I had to rush out after it was over.
Okay, so what part did you like best that I was in?
I said I could lie, but I'm not going to.
It's not in your nature.
No. And because the paparazzi follows me all the time, if there's no picture of me outside of the White House,
I didn't see your Foursquare lock, your Foursquare check-in.
Yeah, there's no way for me to get away with that.
I'm glad it's over. It was an awesomely fun show to do, and you know, community theater. You know, no matter where you live in the province or in the country that's listening to us, find community theater in your neighborhood and support it. Because
absolutely.
Golly, they have fun. You know, it's a great. And here's the thing: people ask me because it's a lot of work, it's a lot of energy, and what do I get out of it? And you know, I get the adoration of the masses. There's right. No doubt about that.
But you get that every week.
I get it all. I walk in here and people are just, you know,
Steve, Dotto.
Everybody wants a piece. Yeah, you know, little kissing babies. But here's what I get out of it, and it's something to think about. Is I get to work with every generation when I do a show, mm-hmm. as peers, not like employer-employee relationship boss. I mean, you're a different generation than me, but I am your overlord. You have to do exactly as I say when I say it. So we're not really friends per se.
Oh,
we have a hierarchy in place between you and I.
True.
And although I appreciate the chance to get to know you. There's that hierarchy. When you're in a show, all of the different generations that are on stage together, we're just working together. You know, mm-hmm. we're coworkers, and so we're peers. And that's what I like. So, you know, I get to know there's teenagers and young 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds, and there's 50-year-olds, and there was 60-year-olds in the cast. And some shows I've done with 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds. So you get all of this, all these different generations working together, and I love that. That's my favorite part of doing community theater.
So it was a success.
The show, yeah. Yeah, people came to see it, and everybody, I mean, what are they going to say to me? No, it sucked, Steve.
Any bad tweets?
No, I didn't hear anything. I heard nary a peep. People don't typically criticize it too much, at least not to your face. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff on Facebook. You know, it was good. And the audience, we got on a roll the last couple of nights. I started feeling a little bit better, and the show got on a roll of its own. But it's a brilliant script. Just to remind everybody, it was a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, which is, I mean, it's from the 1960s. It's a certain audience is going to appreciate it more. Baby boomers are going to appreciate it more because it's very, very body humor. It's a farce. You know, there's no redeeming message at all in it. But it's just...
Sounds like the 60s.
You just come and you laugh and you laugh and you laugh. And you can't possibly get every laugh that is in the show. You can't get everyone, or the show would be 6 hours long. So it's just a fun ride. And here in the audience kind of start to lose control. The last 10 minutes of the show is like a sleigh ride where they're just kind of, they give up all hope of composure, and they just howl through the whole thing as it all falls apart and then comes together. And so that was fun. It was good. I'm glad it's over, though.
Well, now you can grow your hair out again.
My hair is starting to grow. I look a little bit like a chia pet right now, but we'll be okay.
In a good way.
in a good way, in a good way. So we've got a terrific show lined up today. We're going to be talking about the UN-conference, the Bill Conference, similar to the TED Conference, but it's the Bill Conference coming to Vancouver in a couple of weeks. We're going to be looking at that, and it's something that I think you will find intriguing, whether you're in the world of tech or not. And Greg Gazin is going to join us. Greg is the gadget guy from Edmonton. We're going to be talking lots and lots of cool gadgets with Greg. So it's going to be definitely worth sticking around for today's show. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except for Dotto Tech. Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from San Francisco is Michael Cummins, who is, or Cummings, is it Cummings?
Cummings,
sorry about that. Yeah. Michael is one of the founders and the spokesperson for a conference coming up in Vancouver called the Bill Conference. That's Bill, B-I-L. And it's March 22nd and 23rd here in the city. And this is a different conference. In fact, you've referred to it as an unconference. What's an unconference, Michael?
So an unconference is it's an event where we essentially set up a base of operations. We set up kind of a structure, I guess, and we allow people to make it their own. There is no set schedule and there's no predefined speakers. But what it is people then tell us that they're coming and they're going to give a talk. And then the day of, we'll set up whiteboards and everybody can actually write in their time slots, what they're going to talk about, and give their talk. And it really is an interesting way to throw an event, because it really, really allows the community to bring that event and make it their own in their own way.
Now, the genesis of this conference came out of another very popular conference forum, the TED conferences. Can you tell me what the relationship was and how it grew?
So, in 2008, there was a bunch of us who wanted to crash TED, essentially. And
because it's expensive. That was
very expensive.
It was before you could get all the talks online.
Right, absolutely. They were just starting to release talks around that time, and they were doing it very slowly. They were doing it over the course of the year, so it wasn't like they would just release them all at once after the people had given talks. So if you really wanted to hear what people were talking about at TED, you kind of had to attend. And it was, at the time, I think it was $7,000 to attend. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we just want to get in. We want to meet these people that, you know, these are the types of people we're inspired by and we wanted to interact with. So we all ended up buying plane tickets, you know, and at the time I was in Texas and a bunch of other guys were in Texas and we had other friends in California, San Francisco and LA. And we all just got tickets and we went to Monterey. And we eventually just said, you know what, we can't actually get into TED with like 30 people. So there's too many people that we're trying to sneak into the party here. Mm-hmm. So we just rented a building fairly close to TED and we threw our own event. We called it Bill, just kind of as a play on Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And so we had over 300 people show up the first year because we got it. You know, we had some interesting people who were involved. It had really cool networks of, you know, scientists, artists, just really big thinkers, but not necessarily the people that could afford to go to TED. And then we actually reached out to a lot of the speakers that we knew that were going to be speaking at TED, and we had them walk across the street after they gave their talk at TED and come give their talk at our event. And it made for a really, really interesting atmosphere, and it's why we've continued to do it year after year. Our community is growing. We've had, you know, we now threw the Bill in San Francisco this past weekend, and we have Bills in Tunisia. There was a Bill that was thrown in Afghanistan and India, and ones that are proposed in France and the UK and the UAE. And so it's turned into this kind of interesting movement, where people are like, information shouldn't be so hard to get and interactions with really cool people shouldn't be difficult. It's just something that we felt the community needed, so we've continued to do it.
So, and now you no longer have to basically ride on the TED coattails. You've become an entity of your own.
We have become an entity of our own, but we still, the reason we are coming to Vancouver is because TED is coming to Vancouver. We kind of feel like there's something fun about doing it, across the street from TED, it's still kind of a it's a motivator for people. So we still do it. We're going to continue to follow them around, but we are also encouraging many different events to start taking place elsewhere.
Okay, now and does it, is TED always cool with you guys doing this?
I think it's gotten to the point where it's like they're just not. At first, they were very hesitant about us. Now, when they tried, they were a little upset about what we were doing at first, and I think that they just realized that it's much easier for them to just be quiet and let us do our thing than to try and antagonize us at all.
Well, in some ways, you bring extra texture and color to it.
We do. We actually have a lot of the TED people who end up coming because we no longer overlap directly with TED anymore. Before, we were actually the last 2 days of TED, mm-hmm. but we started moving to doing the event the weekend following TED, because TED happens during the week and then we happen, you know, Saturday and Sunday. We have like kind of a pre-party event on Friday that we do it like a social event.
So it's coming up at the end of this month. It's coming up on the 20th and 20 or 21st and 22nd of March.
And 23rd. The 21st is Friday, 22nd and 23rd. That's Saturday and Sunday. Those are the days that we'll have talks.
Okay, and so there is as far as you're concerned, the currency of the currency that you're most concerned with is engagement. You want people out rather than spending money and worrying about any of those things and scheduling. It's all about being engaged. So the speakers and the participants, you're putting on pretty much the same level by having them all show up. And there's like this kind of this mosh thing that happens as you guys determine what the schedule is going to be for that day.
Absolutely. So what will happen is on Saturday morning, our venue will open its doors at 10 a.m. And from about 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., we'll have our whiteboards and everything set outside the venue where everybody will kind of gather and start making the schedule. So if you're interested in giving a talk, you just show up in the morning on Saturday and you write your name on the whiteboard and what time slot you want, and we'll get you on stage and you can talk about something interesting. And, you know, some people are like, well, how do you manage the quality of the talks? Well, the interesting thing is that people who find this concept interesting tend to be interesting people and have interesting stories and things to talk about. So it really has never been a problem. But we also do have some TED speakers who said, I want to speak. And so they'll come over and they'll do the same thing. And then we have a lot of our speakers from California who have given talks before in California who are very interested in coming to Vancouver and talking in front of a new audience, essentially.
So the talks that people are giving, are they along the same format as the TED talks, which are typically 10 or 12 minute talks?
We give 20 minute time slots. So we have three speakers an hour, and that includes you getting your slides and everything set up and you know, and leaving a little room for questions and answers. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have 20 minutes to do with as you wish. And
there's no breakout sessions. It's just a main stage.
There's actually going to be multiple stages. We haven't quite figured out if we're going to do two or three. In the past, in California, depending on our venue, we've had up to five stages going at the same time before.
Okay, and I do notice that when we visit your site, there's a wiki there that actually has a list of some of the speakers early confirmed. Now, what's the difference between early confirmed speakers and the sort that you're talking about now?
So early confirmed speakers are just people that are just telling us what they're going to talk about, but there's no time slot assigned to them. They still have to show up, and they have to put their name on the board, and just like everybody else, because what we're trying to encourage is that the engagement, as you said, we want speakers to interact with attendees. So by being there early in the morning and interacting with everybody and getting to know everybody, it really works better than, you know, saying you're paying for a whole high-profile speaker and them showing up for their time slot and then their PR agent like taking care of like keeping everybody kind of away from them and then moving them out of the venue. Like, that's not what we want.
Yeah, so, there's many a conference I'm almost embarrassed to admit now, but many a conference where I've shown up, given my talk, and you know, I like to participate as much as I can, but you know, just you know, schedules and other things, you often parachute in and head on out.
Right.
So this is very different a conference, and I'm looking at the types of talks, and they do follow a lot of the life hacking skills and that sort of stuff, and the excellence in unexpected places that we find in the TED Talks.
Right.
You know, just looking at your speakers right now, I see you got a guy, Alex Chung is down. He's a guy that proposed to his girlfriend doing a lip sync, and he's going to be talking about that.
Yeah,
you've got Vancouverites will be very familiar with Mark Brand, who of course has been an absolute catalyst in bringing a lot of dignity back to our Lower East Side and working with the neighborhoods there and building out the restaurants and just kind of adding a little bit more dignity into that space. So you've got all ends of the spectrum speaking.
Yes. We encourage a wide range. In fact, the one thing that does differentiate us from TED is that we're not going to censor anybody's talk depending on the topic. So we have no need to be politically correct. This is a place where you can come and give a talk about something that you're truly passionate about, TED censors a lot of different topics. They just say you can't talk about a lot of things. And I don't know the whole list off the top of my head, but there's political and religious and pseudoscience type things that can't be talked about. So we're trying to be open to any topic. And the thing is since we have multiple stages, like if somebody doesn't like what somebody's talking about, they can go to the next stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with taking a coffee break either, I guess.
Right, absolutely.
So and the payment is by donation. You true to the kind of the new nature, you accept Bitcoin, which is
absolutely. In fact, we'll be setting up BitPay on our website very soon. BitPay has gotten very very excited about being involved with us. So they're going to help us set up a marketplace.
I again hate to admit this, but I'm a technology guy who is just bamboozled by Bitcoin. I just don't understand it all completely. You know, I see you also donate via PayPal. I understand yes. PayPal. I get right. that. But Bitcoin to me is still just this great, great mystery that I'm not sure anybody really understands. Because everybody that's tried to explain it to me, when they get into it, they seem to be as confused as I do. So,
right. It takes a little bit. It's a confusing technology at first, but once you understand why you would want to use it, people see the value in it for sure.
Well, let's do this, Michael. Let's make friends when you come up here, and then I'll get you on to explain Bitcoin to us at some future when it's appropriate on the show.
Absolutely. And I actually have several friends who are far more Bitcoin savvy than I am. I have a few, but I have some friends that would love to join on maybe a panel discussion with that
Maybe there'll be a talk on Bitcoin at the Bill Conference.
There absolutely will be a talk on Bitcoin at Bill Conference.
Good stuff. So people that want to know more, the best way to stay informed, because it is a dynamic event, is to get on the mail list, correct?
Absolutely. If they go to the website and go into our event, there'll be a link to join the mailing list, and that's where I'll be sending out most of the most up-to-date information about what's happening, because we still have things that are in flux at the moment. Obviously, we're still, you know, looking at our social event on Friday and Saturday nights and figuring out when those are going to happen and where. Our event is secured. We're actually having our event at the 560, which is right there in downtown Vancouver. But that's the only thing at this moment that is 100% locked down. Everything else is variable. So people need to sign up on the mail list so that I can send them information and let them know where things are happening.
And where they go to sign up is either billconference.com, that's 1L, BILconference.com, or if you go 2014.billconference.com, that'll take you right into the Vancouver one. And
right.
And you can there's a place there to click to join the mail list. Also a description. You can get in and see the wiki, which will describe what speakers are already pre-registered, but you don't know when or where they're going to be speaking. And if you are interested in sharing something which is fascinating, and please make sure it's fascinating, well then why not throw your name into the hat and do a 20-minute Bill Talk on March 22nd or 23rd here in Vancouver. Michael, is there anything else that I've left or we've left out?
I think that's pretty good. Yeah, I think it's good. Really, it's important that people join the mailing list so that I can let them know, because we're going to be releasing tickets via Eventbrite soon. They're going to be free or donation based, but I do need to have a list of attendees. So we'll be sending out that information via the mailing list.
So indefinitely sign up on Eventbrite and make sure that you show up. And also another good place, I guess, to stay up to date, it would be on Twitter, and it's hashtag Bill 2014, 2014, yep. Excuse me, hashtag BIL2014. Michael Cummings has been my guest. Safe travel when you come up, Michael, and I'm looking forward to seeing the conference.
Excellent. Looking forward to meeting you.
I'll be down there.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better.
Do you have a comment or a question for Dottotech?
Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now, all the way from snowy and cold Edmonton, Alberta, is Greg Gazin. Now, Greg is called the Gadget Guy, Gadget Greg. And you can visit him at his website at gadgetgreg.com. And Greg, you kind of followed, we met this last year. I guess we've talked before that, but you followed in my footsteps a little bit there in Edmonton.
I'm just not sure what you mean by that, Steve.
You told me that, you know, my show, the whole Dotto's Data Cafe thing kind of got you going in the whole gadget area.
Oh yeah, that, because when we chatted the last time, we spoke for quite a while on a number of topics. No, absolutely. I remember. I don't want to start making you sound kind of old, but a little while ago, I remember. I remember just following you and watching what you were doing, and I was just totally in awe of how you did things. I liked the fact that you were really gadgety and geeky, but at the same time, you were really good at explaining things, and I really enjoy that, and it really helped me in terms of developing what I wanted to do and in terms of also developing a little bit of a persona as the gadget guy.
Well, that's why we got you on the show, because you have excellent taste.
I assume there's going to be a check in the mail then, right?
Absolutely. So let's do this. Now, if people want to check out any of your gadgets, they're all at gadgetgreg.com, and you also write for a variety of publications. But so I'm relying on you to bring me up to speed on the newest gadgets that I haven't had time to look around and find out what's going on. So what are the things that are capturing your attention?
Oh, there's so many things out today. I think the first thing I'd like to talk about would be probably Apple announcing CarPlay.
And that was just the last few days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, what day is it today? Today
March 3rd they did it, yeah.
So it was March the 3rd, that's right. So it was Apple's iOS in the car. They rolled it out, or they talked about it a little bit at the Worldwide Developer Conference back in June. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is to somehow get your iPhone to interface with your car. So in essence, it's really allowing you to use your phone, get your music, get your maps, get your messages right on your car's navigation system.
So this is unlike just plugging in your car or using the Bluetooth to be able to make phone calls on your phone. This is a tighter, more intimate integration with the car itself.
Absolutely. The interface that will show up on the display on your car will sort of look like a mini version of your homepage or your home, mm-hmm. your homepage on your phone. Currently, it talks about connecting your iPhone. So I'm not sure whether the iPad or the iPod will be compatible at this point. But at the show this week, Mercedes, Ferrari, and Volvo are rolling it out. It's at the Geneva Auto Show. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a whole bunch of others that are basically following suit. Now, how it's going to work is you would connect your iPhone to your car, and you can access the functions basically three ways. First, there might be a button on your car steering wheel, like your normal button to talk, or if you have a car navigation knob on your car, you can use that, and you can also use Siri as well.
Mm-hmm. And then it's as if your iPhone was built into the dashboard.
Absolutely, that's what it sort of feels like. Now, you're not going to be able to access all of your apps, but if you want to play your music, you can ask Siri to play your music from your iTunes library or your even from iTunes Radio. There is some support for some third-party apps. There's not a lot of detail in terms of which ones will be supported right now. They have mentioned Spotify and iHeartRadio. If you want to get your messages, you can get them on the screen. You can get Siri to to give them to you. And you can also answer the phone and talk on the car.
Mm-hmm. So I can see where the appeal is going to be, but I'm wondering what the uptick is going to be in the cost of the car. Because, I mean, you can do almost all of these things now just with a clip that you stick in the front of the dashboard and hang your phone on it. So I'm not seeing too many things that aren't part that you wouldn't be able to do just with your phone itself. Or am I missing something?
I think it'll probably be a lot. It'll be much more of a smoother interface.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that with a lot of these extra gadgets with wires hanging down, I think that the authorities are probably going to crack down, because I see people basically playing around in their cars. You can tell that they're basically fussing around with their phones or fussing around with some wires or some cables, trying to get things going. I think if they work with the car manufacturers, it'll probably be much more of a smoother integration, so that it'll be as natural as playing your CD or your cassette tape, I guess, that it used to play in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think is that it will eliminate the need for full-fledged systems in cars. So, for example, for cars that still use radios and they still use CD players, you're not going to need to do that. Because I know for myself, I have a couple of cars, and one I still have a cassette player in, and I got a whole stack of cassettes, which are all dead. And then I've also I've got CDs in the glove box, and I've got CDs in the tray in the back, and they're all over the place. But by being able to use your phone, it just makes life, it'll make life a lot easier. Now, there are some considerations here. First of all, you're going to need to have one of the newer vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you're looking at buying a brand new car, this might be something to think about. That might change your mind versus buying a car that's a year old. The other thing right now is that you have to have at least, you'll need an iPhone that has the Lightning connector on it. So it'll have to be an iPhone 5 or a 5C or a 5S at this point. So if you're looking at getting high tech with your car and you got a 4 or a 4S, well, maybe it's probably time to upgrade.
You're going to have to upgrade that too. Well, the car is going to be a very interesting battleground, because I'm thinking, what do I use most in the car? What is the kind of the killer app in the car is definitely the maps. And Apple is a distant second behind Google as far as their mapping tool. And Google, of course, is investing a huge amount of money in the whole automotive space. Far beyond just an entertainment and communication center, they're right into the actual navigation and driving and in actually moving the car around. So this will be a very interesting battleground to see who ends up winning the operating systems of the car of the future.
I think it will, because it's also, I think it will, especially with maps, because maps are extremely, as you mentioned, they're extremely important. There might be more incentive for the Apple Maps to move forward, but being able to, when you think about it, you've got your calendar all synced up, and now you know you're going to go from point A to point B to point C, and you can have that all nicely packaged together and say, okay, oh, by the way, you know, we're going to go pick up some milk, and then we're going to go to the library, and then we're going to go shopping, and having this all nicely integrated into your car system is just great.
It is indeed going to be happy. If I have to put my money on one right now, I'm going to put it on Google, though. I think that they're spending a little bit more, but this is a beautiful interface, and I look, and being an iPhone user, I think I would certainly choose it myself, but I think at the end of the day, it's hard to bet against Google in this particular space. So that's Apple CarPlay, so we'll create a link to that at our site. So what's next on the list?
I'll just add, if it's okay, I just want to add that it is a free upgrade. It'll be part of the iOS. It'll be part of the iOS 7 update.
Okay, so having
it will be free.
Okay, good stuff. All right, what's up next?
Oh, I wanted to talk about selfies. Did you watch the Oscars last weekend?
That was brilliant. I thought that one selfie that she took that took down Twitter was just awesome. And actually, my partner was following her. She started to follow Ellen. She started to follow her in the middle of the Oscars. So we got the picture right away ourselves before it went down.
Did you see all the parodies of all of all those selfies?
I actually haven't. No, I actually haven't. There's been a lot of them, though, have there?
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds. I think there was a site I found that had 10 different selfies, and even that squirrel, you know, that squirrel that seems to pop up in pictures everywhere, that was on there too.
Okay.
But interesting about selfies, it seems to be something that some people love it, and some people hate people that use it, because people get in your face, they get in your way to take those pictures, and they're, you know, they got the elbows in your face. But interestingly enough, selfies was the 2013 Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year, if you didn't know that.
I didn't know that, but I knew they had added it as a real word.
Yeah, it's true. Now, the challenge, of course, with selfies is that you're sort of basically relying on the length of your arm.
Yep.
You're also relying on how steady your hand is, and kind of how elegant you can kind of push that that button unless you've got it on the timer. So I wanted to share two things with you today, Steve. One is it's a gadget called the HISY. It's H-I-S-Y.
Okay.
It's a Bluetooth. It's a Bluetooth gadget, and what it is, it's about the size of, let's call it two, that's a stack of two poker chips. And what it does is it acts as a remote shutter for your iOS device. You can take one shot. Yeah, you can take one shot with it, or if you have a 5S, like for example, in continuous mode, you can use the burst mode. Now, the device is, they say that you can use the device to, from 30 to up to 90 feet away. Now, I think that might be a little far depending on how far you want to be. It runs off a little coin cell, and it's supposed to last for about, if you use it maybe 100 times a day, they say the coin cells will last for 2 years. Haven't been able to try that yet. Nice thing about it is that you can keep it on your keychain, and it also has this kind of an unusual attachment. You actually can plug it into your headphone. It doesn't do anything with your headphone. It just kind of sits in there if you want to have it hanging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sells for about $25. It works with the iPhone, the iPad, and the iPhone 4S and up. I think it's a neat little device.
I think it is a neat little device. I like the idea because especially when you look at, you know, using your iPhone with things like the GorillaPod, you know, those little tripods that you can wrap around a railing or something like that. It does allow you a lot more creative use of the selfie. And so that's cool. I like that. That's a winner for me, called the HISY. I like that. That's a good gadget. Well played, sir.
The next one is an app, and it's called CamMe, capital C-A-M, capital M-E.
So it two runs M's, on, Cam,
yes, there's, Me. Yeah, one's a big one, one's a small one. It'll run on, you need iOS 7 at least to run it. So one of my devices, I had to upgrade it before I could play with it. Now, it's not brand new. It was out a year ago. But just recently at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, it actually won the most innovative app.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, you can use this from about a half a meter to up to about 5 meters, and it will use the front-facing camera. How it works is that when you engage the app, it asks you to raise your hand. So you raise your hand, and then when you close your fingers, not close your hand, but kind of cup your fingers, it starts a countdown and it takes a shot. Well, okay. I thought it's kind of interesting. Now, the only challenge with that, of course, is that you have to make sure that you raise your hand and that the camera can see you. I mean, it's not necessarily perfect, but it actually works pretty good. And on their site, they got a great little video about two ladies who are trying on dresses. I think it's kind of, you get a good chuckle out of it. It's got three modes. It's got just a regular mode where you can take a selfie. It also has a cutout mode. So for example, if you want to stick your face in the cutout of the lion from The Lion King, you could do that. And it also has a film strip mode where you can take three or four consecutive shots in a row.
Okay.
Neat little app, doesn't require any hardware. Probably a little bit of hit and miss, but it does rely on the front-facing camera. So if you have a lower-res front-facing camera on your device, you're not going to get as good a shot as if you were using the rear-facing camera.
Yeah, and it's a 99-cent app, so just nice and cheap, just good fun.
Yeah, there is a pro version apparently, which I haven't had a chance to actually look
into
it yet.
Yeah, that's the pro version. It's 99 cents, I think. So it's so good. So that's called CamMe, C-A-M-M-E. And we'll have a link to that as well. So those are two pretty cool tools that kind of overcome the length of arm issue and shaky issue for selfies.
Absolutely. Are you ready for the next item yet?
I am indeed.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this. It's just not intentional, but the next item we're going to talk about, I also refer to as about the size of a fat poker chip. Mm. I don't know why. There's not really a theme of poker here. We're not talking about gambling. But this little guy is called the Clipper, or it could be called the Clip R. It's Clip and then capital R by a company called Muse Mini. And what it does is it turns your headphones into wireless devices. So let's say, for example, you've got your beautiful, comfy set of big headphones that you really love to use, but it's not wireless, and you'd like to have it to have wireless capability. So you plug it into this little device. Now, this device uses either Bluetooth 4, and it also uses NFC. So if you've got NFC capability on one of your devices, then you could use that. And what it does is that you clip it. You can clip it onto your body. Like, you can clip it onto your clothing, or you can clip it onto your belt buckle because it's got a nice clip in the back. And it basically turns your device into a wireless device. Now, in addition, let's say that beautiful, wonderful set of headphones that you have doesn't have a microphone built in. Well, this thing has a little microphone built into it. So what's really good about that is that now all of a sudden your old headphones can now be, you can now use them as wireless earbuds, which is really nice.
So you can make phone calls on them. You can use them for Siri or for voice control, that sort of stuff.
Yes. What I like about it as well is it's rubberized. So it's not hard on any edges of your clothing. It does have a clip in the back. What I would have liked to have seen maybe on this might have been maybe a lanyard of some sort or a hook.
Yeah.
Because if you put it on your belt clip and you're moving around, I'm always worried that I might lose
it. Pop it off, yeah.
Yeah. But then again, if it's plugged into your headphones, it'll probably just start dangling.
Yeah.
The other thing, of course, is if you're going to use it as a microphone, you certainly want to keep it maybe close up to the upper portion of your chest, obviously, because if it's on your belt loop, well, it's probably not very helpful. Nice thing I like about this is it's a self-standing unit. It doesn't really require any apps. It might be what you'd call a little bit on the pricey side. It does sell for $49.
Okay.
But the other thing I'd mention is that you can also control your volume, your tracks on your music, and you can also take calls and reject calls as well. So you've got three multifunction buttons on it.
It's got a lot of features. Now, where does power come from for it?
Power, it does have a little. It's got a built-in battery,
mm-hmm.
and it does have a little micro USB
charger. Okay.
Yeah, micro USB jack. It does come with that's a good point, Steve. It does come with two short little cables that you can use. Only challenge I find if I'm using, I have a set of headphones that has a really, really, really long cord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that is you still got to bunch up the cord somewhere. I usually just stick it in my jacket. But so far, I used it for a couple of weeks, and so far I found it actually very helpful and very useful. In terms of the sound quality, in many cases, didn't really notice any difference in quality, but there were a few times where the sound probably wasn't as good as it could have been, and I think that was probably because of the Bluetooth connectivity.
Did you get it clipping, the sound clipping occasionally? Was that what was happening?
It almost sounded like it had a bit of background noise.
Okay, that's interesting. Because I found when I'm outside, I find Bluetooth headsets don't work as well as inside, and that's just because there's no place for the signal to bounce. But you were probably using it up with an iPhone, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how they work with the NFC, with the Samsung, say, in trying out the NFC, because, Bluetooth is okay but not great, so maybe NFC is better. It'd be interesting to see.
Obviously, there's going to be a bit of a trade-off there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used it mostly around the house, and I do a lot of walk. I walk at the mall quite a bit, mm-hmm. and so I use it at the mall, and it's just great because you're not worried about yanking on the cable. So
yeah,
it's a neat little device. I think it comes in four or five colors. The one I got is green.
Okay. Now you're moving away from the computer devices a little bit now. You're getting into wearable stuff.
Wearable. I'm just thinking. What's it like in Vancouver there?
It's been snowing, so don't even talk to us. It's like we live in the freaking prairie right now in Vancouver. We've had snow all through March.
Okay, because I was even... Go ahead.
No, it's not right. That's for you folks in Edmonton. It's not for us here.
Oh, we certainly need it.
Yeah.
Next gadget I'd like to chat about is called the ChatterMits by Logix.
Love them. We love them.
Love them?
I think they were one of my products of the year.
Oh, they're great little devices. Of course, sometimes wearing them could certainly make you kind of foolish. You know
the
old story.
For sure.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah.
These are really cool. So you've seen gloves that have holes in them so that you could access the fingers. What these ones do is they have connective threads on the inside, and you actually talk to the glove.
Yeah, I love this concept. And then so you use your thumb and your little finger,
you're doing
the microphone thing.
Yeah, when you're doing the gesture.
Yeah.
I thought that's actually it's actually pretty good.
And doesn't that also turn them on doing the gesture, or is there some control function as far as when you hold your hands that way?
That's a good question. To be honest with you, I can't remember. It's been a few weeks since
okay.
I actually played
with
them.
I think it is. At any rate, these are great, and they're available at our friends at London Drugs.
In fact, I believe they're exclusive to London Drugs.
Could well be. Yeah, I think they're and unfortunately, they're still a viable product right now.
Yeah, they're a great little device. It's a great little gadget, and they're actually nice little mitts. They're nice and comfortable, and they're fairly warm as well.
Yeah, they're a brilliant concept, though. So the chatter mitts are still on the list, and the last one you sent me the list. Last one you're gonna get into my oral health.
It's funny because I'm just playing with this one right now. Unfortunately, I can't demonstrate it and talk to you at the same time because we're going to be talking about toothbrushes.
Okay.
Or
that's a first on the show, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Oral-B has this new toothbrush called the Black 7000 with SmartGuard. And it's interesting. There's a nice little story behind it. And I know we talked about this before we got on the air and about Back to the Future. You remember the movie Back to the Future?
Yes.
Okay. Doc Brown fell off. I can't remember if he fell off his toilet or whether he fell off the sink or whether he was on the tub. I'm not really sure. And he hit his head and he came up with the idea for the flux capacitor, which made travel, time travel work. Mm-hmm. Well, the story about the Oral-B is not really as dramatic and nobody was hurt, but this is actually a true story. Oral-B is developed in Germany. And a German engineer was sweeping the snow from his driveway. Now, of course, here we use these shovels and these major scrapers. I would never use a brush for sweeping snow. But interestingly enough, he was brushing his snow, and he's brushing the snow from his driveway, and he noticed a fine layer of snow after he brushed. Mm-hmm. So he took the head of his brush, and he hit it down on the driveway, on the snow, and broke it up.
Okay.
And he came up with this idea to Excuse me. He came up with this idea so that not only he came up with this idea to find a better way of removing plaque from your teeth.
Okay.
So the brush, typically the brush is used to just rotate, if you remember.
Yeah, spin
and
brush,
then they
yeah.
Right. And if you think about it, when you're trying to use one of those rotating brushes when you're cleaning your car or waxing your car, it has a tendency of moving around. Mm-hmm. So they created a brush that rotates and oscillates. So this thing rotates like, I think, 8,800 times per minute. It's like as fast as a car. But then it also pulsates up and down 40,000 times per minute. So the whole idea there is to pretty much break up all the plaque. Now, this thing comes with three different brush heads, depending on what you want to do. You have floss action, which I guess is designed to either eliminate floss or help with your flossing. There's a professional. You want to get a professional clean. And then there's a sensitive for the sensitive toothbrushes. There's also six different modes depending on what you want to do, like if you need a deep clean or if you need a polish. But there's even a tongue cleaning mode. Because apparently lots of bacteria hide in your tongue. And people really hate brushing, right? They hate brushing their tongue. In fact, some people don't do it, or some people don't do it probably often enough.
Yep.
In fact, I think I vaguely remember reading a statistic somewhere that maybe is it less than 20% actually admit to flossing, I think, maybe once a month or something.
Really? That's disgusting. What are you thinking about, people? I mean, people listening to us right now haven't flossed in 3 weeks? What are you thinking about?
Oh, there's more high tech to this, Steve. First of all, it's cool. It's black, of course. I think by the name, I think that gives it away. Comes with a funky little travel case. But it also has this wireless smart. What did I call it? I just
smart
forgot.
Guide. It's a smart guide.
Yeah. Wireless smart guide. And what it is, it's a little device that sits on your a little wireless device that sits on your counter, and it keeps track of how long you brush. The whole idea is you're supposed to brush for 2 minutes, and I think it's 30 seconds in each different quadrant. And it's got little pictures of diamonds. It's got a picture of teeth and a little smiley face, and it's got a growly face if you're not doing it quite
That's
right.
That's awesome for parents checking to see if their kids have done it.
The other thing it has is it has a pressure sensor. And I never realized this, but most people brush too hard. In fact, I remember the last time I remember my dentist, I used to use a hard toothbrush. The dentist says I really should be using a soft toothbrush. And the harder you brush, the more you burn out the brushes. But anyway, this one has a pressure sensor that tells you when you're pressing too hard. It'll go beep. Okay. Which I think is pretty cool. It's also a money saver if you think about it, because you do have to replace the brushes eventually. I think if you on regular use, the brushes are probably good for about 3 months. But if you're pressing too hard, you're going to wear it out prematurely. Now, this gadget is not the cheapest one in the world. Oral-B, of course, is by Braun. It's $259.99 retail. But wow. I think for people who are really – yeah, I know. For people who are really into high-tech gadgets, I think it's a lot of fun. But not only that, if you think about what it costs to go to the dentist, if you can brush better,
it
might be worth the trip.
Greg, you can't put a price on oral health. I've always said it. I've actually never said it, but now I've said it once.
Okay. There you go.
So that's the Oral-B Black 7000 with Smart Guide.
Yes.
Wow, we've covered the whole spectrum, everything from selfies to CarPlay to oral health. You are indeed the gadget guy. Greg.
I told you we were going to have an eclectic mix.
Indeed, we did.
You asked me, well, what theme? And I'm going, what kind of theme can we have?
This is perfect. Now, people, if they want to look you up, gadgetgreg.com is your URL. And what's your Twitter ID?
My Twitter's @gadgetgreg. You can also reach me there through gadgetguy.ca. And typically for a lot of the other publications that I write for, if the full article is not there at gadgetguy.ca or gadgetgreg.com, there will be a link to wherever the articles are actually posted
elsewhere. Yeah, you do a lot of writing for Canoe and other fine publications. Greg, we're going to have to do this again sometime.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Stay warm up there in Edmonton, sir.
Will do. We'll try.
That's Greg Gazin. Thanks so much.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Dottotech?
Nobody
visit
does
our
it better.
Website Except at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
You know, it seems like we just started art and already we're finished. Today's show. It just flew by. That is the sign of a great show or really effective medication.
Yes. Well, we've hit our stride, they say.
Yeah, well, this is like show 142 in our long series. That's not even counting the repeats.
They never thought we would last.
They should have been right.
They're half right.
They could have been right. Hey, I'm working on something new that I want to tell people about.
Okay.
I've decided that my YouTube channel is going to be huge this year. So I set a goal last year of 10,000 subscribers for the channel.
And how many did you hit?
I hit 10,000 on like December 28th. We barely hit it, but we hit it.
Goal achieved.
And really, I set that goal kind of in September. It was a late year, just when we started to really commit to it. Well, this year, I've seen the traction. I've seen the growth in the channel. And so now I'm going to go for, are you ready for it?
Drum roll.
100,000 subscribers by the end of this year.
Holy moly.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But we can do it. We can do it. So, with your help. Everybody, put down what you're doing and subscribe to my YouTube channel. No.
Anyone with a Gmail account, go to YouTube.
Everybody go to YouTube. No, but I think we can do it. I mean, we're growing by over 3,000 a month right now, and it's just hockey sticking up. And so, even if I did nothing, we would hit 50 or 60,000 subscribers based on our current trajectory. But I think I can improve it. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go from 1 to 2 videos per week, in the productivity space. So we're going to increase the number of videos.
And cat videos, right?
No cat videos. I'm going to stay on what
I do.
Cute
baby
best.
Videos.
Let the dancers dance and the singers sing. No, it's going to be technology stuff. I'm going to stay true to our roots. But I have added a new playlist, which is how to grow to 100,000 subscribers. I'm going to be talking about all the different techniques that I'm doing on YouTube to teach people how to grow their own channel. So this is something that you should be following.
I saw the clip and I'm meaning to watch it.
Yeah, so we just got the first few posted there, but visit dottotech.com or YouTube/dottotech, YouTube.com/dottotech, and there you will see the new playlist, which will include the new videos, which includes this kind of journey. So about once a week I'll be publishing at least one new video talking about the things that we're doing to grow the channel.
It's very exciting.
So we can learn. It'll be something, but we will be talking about it through the year. And I think you should follow on, and you should start a comedy channel to follow on and to do everything I'm doing and see where you get to by the end of the year.
Do you think when you hit 100,000 you'll start hiring like hair and makeup?
I probably should. But I'll be making money. Yeah, I'll be making it's not insignificant the revenue that one can earn from a good YouTube channel. So
I heard
it's worth looking into. And with that, let's wrap things up. We will see you next week again. Art, thanks so much for your time. I'm Steve Dotto. We'll see you next week right here on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.